So, I don't think I've ever, I've spoken from this pulpit before. I've never preached from this pulpit before. So, I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I'm grateful to you and to the Lord and to Brother Neil for giving me the chance. And let's see where it goes. So, if you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to continue in the series on Acts that Brother Neil has been preaching through. Tonight we're going to go through verses 1 through 12 of chapter 2. Whenever you get there, if you would stand in the honor of reading God's word. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" Let's pray. Father God, it is an amazing, amazing thing to have your Spirit within us, Lord. Help us to understand what that means. And looking at this scripture, Lord, of the first time that your Holy Spirit came and was given to every one of your believers, Lord, help us to understand what that means for us in our personal lives today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So, this day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days, or it's referring also to a feast or a celebration, the Feast of Weeks, which is a Jewish celebration 50 days after Passover. If we all remember, Passover was when Jesus was crucified. So this is only 50 days, or not quite 2 months, after Jesus died, was buried, and then shortly thereafter, he died, buried, arose from the grave on the third day. Hallelujah. And then shortly thereafter ascended to the Father in heaven. So at that point, Jesus had told his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Stay here. Remain together. And you will hear from me shortly." And in chapter 1, in verses 4 through 5, he says, "Be assembled together with them," he commanded them, "not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So 50 days later, and we have what we just read. The Holy Spirit comes. And all of those who are assembled together receive the Holy Spirit. Now let's dig this apart a little bit. In verse 2, it says, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Okay, ponder that for a second. Y'all have been outside on days where it's really, really breezy, windy. You can hear it rustling through the treetops. Okay, I don't think that's what it's talking about. Y'all remember about 3 weeks ago, where there was a tornado or two that tore through here, ripping up everything? I think that's a little closer to what he was talking about when it says, a rushing and mighty wind. This was like a tornado sound inside of a house. Do you think that a whole bunch of people heard that? Not just them in that room? I would be really, really scared if a sound like a tornado came in this room right now. That is power. That is might. So, my first point, Richard, is the Spirit is powerful. Now, let's figure out how that works within us, okay? Verse 2, the word that we have translated wind is the word pnoe, which can also be translated respiration or a breeze or wind. I really like the correlation between wind and respiration or breathing, your breath. The sound of the Holy Spirit coming upon the earth was also as our breath. What is your breath to you? What does that mean to each one of us? If I couldn't breathe, I wouldn't be speaking. I wouldn't be walking around. I would, nary I say, not be upright right now. I would be dead. Hey, how does that correlate with salvation? Without the Spirit that God gives us, without His salvation, we are dead, breathless corpses. We must have His Spirit, His powerful Spirit, to be made alive and vibrant in this life of Christ. Now in verse 3, let's read verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. That struck me as strange. Tongues as of fire. Okay, well, maybe if you're sitting looking at a fire in a fireplace or outside a bonfire, you see little flames flicker here, there, and those are tongues of flame. That's kind of what the picture is, I think, that he's trying to portray. But I went and looked at the word tongue and what it meant, and because it's the same word used later talking about speaking in tongues. Exact same word, same translation. So why is it talking about tongues that look like tongues of fire and then tongues speaking in different languages? That's a really strange correlation, I thought. Okay, so I went and did some research and figured out that there are two possible translations or meanings of this word. One, it could be a literal tongue, the tongue in your mouth. Or it could be spoken languages. So using the same word in two different contexts, the first one, he's talking about these things look like literal tongues that were on fire. That's really shocking and really weird and something that if you saw it, you probably would get stuck in your head. You wouldn't forget that sight, would you? And I thought, why? Why would the Spirit, why would God portray Himself in that way? There's got to be a reason for everything God does. God doesn't do anything uselessly. And so this is my thought and my idea and hopefully what the Spirit gave to me. But I was thinking, it was probably because it was strange. Because it was shocking. It was a weird visual for the people there to see. Flaming tongues. And there was one on every single one of them there. not just the 12 disciples, not just the 12 apostles, but all of the disciples, all of the followers of Christ. And they had this visual, this literal flaming tongue that came and sat on them. That's memorable. I think I would remember that day for the rest of my life. So what about the day that you were saved and the Spirit came into your life? You probably didn't see anything physical. I didn't. You might have. Praise God. But that day was memorable to me. I'm never going to forget the day that I was saved. I'll tell you a little bit more about that day later on. But that was a memorable occurrence. And I think that is why that the Spirit chose to display Himself in this way, because this is something big and something to be remembered. Then we go on and talk about how everybody was filled with the Spirit in verse 4. Let's look at that. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody. Everyone that was assembled there, every child of God, every follower of God, got the Holy Spirit. I know I've said that several times now. I probably will say it a whole lot more times. Everybody. Everybody receives the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit? Powerful. If you are a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit. You have been made powerful via the Holy Spirit. How many of us live powerful lives? How many of us go daily into our jobs powerfully, excitedly, ready to face the day, ready to explode the Holy Spirit's power into that place, ready to share the gospel with boldness? I dare say, I don't do that every day. Some days, okay, yeah. Most days, not so much. That's my fault. That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. The Holy Spirit is constant. He is stable. He is always powerful, and He is always present, ready to empower you. But it's my fault for quenching that Holy Spirit that is within me and not allowing the power to flow through me into every place that I go. Whew. Woe is me. Quenching the power that God has given me and not using it for His glory every single moment that He has given me to use it. Next point is, the Spirit is marvelous. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. I'm sorry. Verse 4 was the next point, was the Spirit was compelling. Did I jump over that? I did. Okay, so I got the first half of that. Let's go back to 2. He is compelling. Now let's finish up that part. we have been given that power. And they were, every one of us, filled. We have that power to go forth. What happened immediately whenever they received and were filled with the Holy Spirit? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak. They were compelled to action. They were immediately going forth and speaking truth. Now I'll tell you the rest of that story of my salvation experience. I was sitting in Zambia at our little guest house in Lusaka, the capital city of Zambia, and I was in a room by myself. And at that time, something that I couldn't explain was pricking my heart, was tugging at me and showing me my desperate need for help and for a Savior. I understood enough at that point, being 7 years old, to know that I was a sinner, that I had done things wrong, and that I needed forgiveness for those things. So I went and found somebody that could help me figure out what this was about. The first person I came to was my mom. And I went and started asking her questions about salvation and about God and what I needed to do to be saved. And she walked me through verses in Scripture, clarifying, making sure that I knew what I was talking about and making sure that this was really a significant and real occurrence that was happening and not just some kid asking questions like kids do. And then Dad came in and joined in the conversation. And anyway, ultimately it led to me surrendering my heart and life to Christ there in a little guest house in Lusaka in Zambia. Do you know what I did immediately after the Holy Spirit indwelled me at that moment, that day? I ran out of that room and found every single other person in that entire guest house. And I was like, I just got saved. I just met Jesus. I was 7 years old. But I could not hold that in. Every single person in that guest house knew that I just got saved and I just met Jesus. We are compelled by the Spirit forth into action, into speaking the excitement and the exuberance and the joyfulness that is God. How can we sit still with power and with the compelling force of the Holy Spirit within us? Now we go to verse 5. The Spirit is marvelous. And there were dwelling among them in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. So there were a whole lot of Jews from a whole lot of different places, all in Jerusalem. Why were they all there? I answered this question at the beginning. Who remembers? The feast. The feast of weeks. So all of the devout Jews had come to celebrate this feast in Jerusalem. Okay, I didn't tell you, but this feast is one of three annual feasts established in the law that Jews are supposed to come to Jerusalem to celebrate together. There are three of them, and this is one of them. So these are the devout Jews. These are the Jews who are still attempting every day in their daily lives to follow the law and to live a life that follows God's ways. They know the Scripture. They know the prophecies They know what God has given them to do. That's why they're here. They're from all over, from every nation, it says. So, obviously, if they're from a whole lot of different places, they know a whole lot of different languages. They don't all speak Hebrew. Some of them speak Greek. Some of them speak, let's see, in verses 9 through 11, it talks about all the different peoples. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, and joining with Cyrene, people from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, people from all over the world were in Jerusalem. What brought them together at this exact moment, though, not just in general for this week? It says in verse 6, they heard a sound. What was that sound? The sound of a mighty rushing wind that filled the house where the believers of Christ were. The sound of the Spirit. They all heard it. Everybody in Jerusalem heard the sound. They all came out of their houses. They all came and found where this sound was coming from. They were like, what in the world is this? This is strange. This is different. We want to figure out what it is. So, that's something that we can understand about the Spirit. The Spirit is different. The Spirit is unordinary. The Spirit is attention-catching. Marvelous. Something that you don't expect. Something that you look at and you're like, wow, what? Huh? Or maybe it's like fireworks. Whenever there's a fireworks show, can you take your eyes off of it? It's bright. It's glorious. It's something that you want to see. I don't know how fireworks work. I don't know how to make them. All I know is that they're beautiful and I really enjoy to watch them. I think the Spirit is similar. We don't know how He works. We don't know all the things that He does. But we do see the results. And we marvel at them because they are powerful. And they are something that we don't understand. These Jews in Jerusalem were drawn to the appearing of the Holy Spirit. They came to this place to figure out what it was that was going on. When we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are going forth as He compels us, when we are speaking the truth and the glory of God, people will take note. People will see it and wonder. People will be drawn to it. They will ask you, what is this? What's different? I don't understand what's going on right now. Therein is your opportunity. The Holy Spirit draws people unto Himself, unto God. There comes our decision. Am I going to continue to open this door and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and share the gospel in this situation? Tell people, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus wants a relationship with you. The disciples were speaking in tongues, the languages of all of these different people, so that they could hear and understand what was going on. Let me just kind of summarize. We already read all of the different places. But in verse 8, it says, "And how is it?" This is the Jews speaking. "How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own language from which we were born?" Then it goes talking about all of the different places that they're from. And then in the second half of verse 11, it says, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And then in verse 12, "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean?" Step back and think about this from our perspective for a moment. Think about a group of Southerners, a whole bunch of hicks, and we're all up in one house, chilling, doing whatever we're doing, watching TV. And then all of a sudden, we start speaking in French and in German, in Arabic, in Chibemba, which is in Zambia. Sorry, I had to throw that one in there. And in so many other world languages that we wouldn't recognize if we heard them. And all of these other people from all of these other countries happened to show up and listen to us speaking in all these different languages. And they were like, what in the world are these hicks doing speaking perfect French and German? Doesn't make any sense at all. I think that's a funny thought. but it's attention getting, like I said before. And what were they saying? What were the disciples speaking? The second half of 11 says, they were speaking the wonderful works of God. What is our job? Simply that. To speak the wonderful works of God. First of all, the gospel. That is the wonderful work of God, in my opinion. But then, our stories. Each one of us has a life story with so many different chapters in it. Those are the wonderful works of God to you in your life. Speak those things to people. Give voice to what God has done for you and in you. And allow the Spirit to powerfully move through your life. Verse 12, at the end, they were all questioning, whatever could this mean? I'll tell you what it meant. It meant these people were Christians. They were saved. They were given the blessing of the Holy Spirit in power in their lives to speak out into the world the honor and glory of God. Are you saved tonight? if you say, absolutely, I'm saved, and I can tell you how and when and where it all happened. Well, my next question is, if you're saved, are you living like it? Because all this that I've described to you tonight about the Spirit is the life of a believer. It is the walking out of who we should be every day. Am I living like that every day? I already told you I'm not. But by the power of God continually molding me and bringing me into a closer fellowship and relationship with Him day after day, hopefully I'm living more like that in more days in a row in the future than I have been in the past. If you're not currently living in power and speaking out and living forth the truth of Spirit and showing the marvelousness of God in your life, start right now. Start tonight. Start tomorrow. Don't go another second. I beg you, don't go another second without it. The Spirit is in you if you are a believer. And it is our duty, it is our calling to go forth and speak in power and to share the marvelous stories of God. I wrote this question. It's a convicting question to me. And I hope that it is to you. If you are a child of God who has been indwelled by the Spirit of God, and you are not actively glorifying God, and you are not causing a disturbance in your world, and you are not being strange and different every day, then what are you doing? Take pause right now. Evaluate. What are you doing? There are three things that we can take as characteristics of someone who is filled with the Spirit. If you want to write these down, which I encourage you to do, they will help you to evaluate yourself. Every day, are you doing these things? Number one, are you being active for Christ every day? Number two, are you being different from the norm of the world? Number three, are you being about glorifying God in everything that you do? Every single action you take. I'm going to pray, and we're going to move into a time of reflection. If you don't know Jesus, He's calling you right now. He wants to know you, and I want you to know Him too. Uncle Ray is going to be at the front. Come speak to him. Come ask him how you can know Him, how you can know Jesus. If you need to come to the front, to the altar, and weep, if you need to come and pray, confess, if you need to stay in your seats, we're going to sing two songs of response to give you an opportunity to honor and glorify God in this moment. Do as the Spirit is leading you to do. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given me. to speak your truth and to your love and your word. I know that you do not return unto yourself void. And I pray that tonight you would make a difference and make a change in every single person who is assembled here. Lord, I know that you make a difference in my life every day that I allow you to. And it's ultimately up to me if I let you do something great in my life or not. I pray that you would open our eyes to that and use us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.